like to read one verse tonight from the Epistle to the Hebrews in chapter 2. The Epistle to the Hebrews in chapter 2. Epistle to the Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? The Lord has promised to bless what we have heard and also this reading from his precious word. Now, very simply tonight, at the close of the meeting, we're going to speak about one word. And you know, it's a Bible word, and it's the word salvation. As you and I read the Bible, we discover time and again, we read about this word salvation. We've read tonight about great salvation. We could read about common salvation, and we could read about eternal salvation. The Bible speaks about salvation. In Canada, there's a verse of a hymn that goes like this. Salvation, salvation, endearing precious sound, shout, shout the word salvation to earth's remotest bound. Now very simply tonight, I'm going to speak about four things about salvation. The first thing we're going to consider about salvation is this. Salvation, what it is. Then secondly, salvation, who it's for. Then thirdly, salvation, how to get it. And then finally, salvation, when to get it. Now, what is salvation? You know, salvation is one thing. It's a work of God. I remember working in Forsyth in a house. There was no furniture in that house. But there was a dictionary in the house. I remember taking that dictionary at lunchtime that day, and I looked up the word salvation, and here's what the dictionary said. It wasn't a Bible dictionary, but here's what the dictionary said, the meaning of salvation. Said this: deliverance from sin and from all its consequences. Let's ask one question tonight. What is the consequence of sin? Listen to three verses from the Bible. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. For the wages of sin is death. Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And remember, it's not only physical death. It's not only spiritual death, but it is eternal death. Salvation, what it is, remember, it's a work of God. What happens when a person gets saved? They come from distance to nearness. They come from darkness into light. They come from death unto life. We sometimes sing those words, do we not? Come from darkness into light. Come, let Jesus make you right. Come and start for heaven tonight, be in time. So salvation, what it is a work of God.
But then secondly, very quickly, salvation, who it's for. Listen tonight to what the Bible says. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, I love John's gospel. And I notice three things in John's gospel about the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Listen tonight to it. God is the great lover of the world. The Lord Jesus tonight is the Savior of the world. And the Holy Spirit tonight is the convictor of sin in the world. We used to sing with the children, tell the merry and sad, tell the good and the bad, tell the captive as well as the free, tell the weak and the strong, they may all come along, all because of verse 16, John 3. Oh yes, I can see, whosoever needs me, I am ever so thankful for that verse in John 3. And I want to remind this audience this evening, remember, salvation's for the young, salvation's for the old, salvation is for whosoever will. Salvation, who it's for. But then thirdly, very quickly, salvation, how to get it. You know, the best way to tell a person how to get saved is to tell them how you got saved. And that's what I'm going to do this evening. My brother Francis was saved when he was 11. I was saved when I was 13. And tonight I'm 70. How did a person get saved? Well, like you people tonight, I was privileged above many. When I give my testimony in Canada, I used to say two things. I was born in a land called Bible-loving Scotland. I don't think it's that tonight. But there was a day when Scotland was Bible-loving Scotland. I had a godly father. I had a godly mother. And I often long to know my father's God, and I often long to know my mother's Saviour. Not only did they preach Christ to us, but they lived Christ before us. So I was born in a land called Bible-loving Scotland. And I was raised in a Christian home. I was a young person that was privileged. But let me say this tonight to you young people, remember, the greater the privilege, the greater the responsibility, and the greater will be the judgment if you live and die in your sin. Listen tonight to the words of the hymn writer. Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, remember tonight your hell will be dark, and your hell will be deep and destructive if you live and die in your sin. God spoke to me in many ways. But the way he spoke to me most was this, the coming again of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to say it tonight. 57 years ago in Scotland, you heard more about the Lord's coming then than you do now. And 57 years has passed. and the Lord Jesus Christ has not yet come. Let's ask the question, why has Christ not come? He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but all might come to repentance. But I knew this. If the Lord Jesus Christ should come, my father, mother, my brother Robert would go, and I would be left for the wrath and the judgment of God. Not too far from here, Bethany Hall, Gospel Hall, Lahore, there were special gospel meetings going on. A man by the name of Bill Patterson, he was from Tillicoutre. He was a missionary in a foreign land, Bermuda. And he was having gospel meetings at that time. And souls were being reached and saved. I believe there was over 40 souls professed at that gospel meeting, that these gospel meetings that lasted for a few weeks. I remember one week passed, and I was troubled about my sin. I couldn't sleep at night. My appetite had gone. The thing that troubled me most was this. If the Lord Jesus Christ should come, I would be left for the wrath and the judgment of God. 1 week passed by, still unsaved. 2 weeks passed by, still unsaved. 3 weeks passed by, and still unsaved. But I'll never forget the night I got saved. The 7th of January, 1949. My best friend at that time, James Thompson, he professed to be saved in the Bible class Sunday afternoon. I remember going to the meeting that night, and as a young boy, 13 years of age, I sat on the third seat between my father, the third row between my father and my mother. After that meeting, I sat still. Brethren went to the anterooms and prayed. And I could hear men crying to God for the salvation of my precious soul. And I remember Mr. Patterson came and asked what was my problem. I told that dear man I would like to be saved. And he sat down with me and he read many verses. I could remember one verse that he read. Listen tonight to it. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And you know, friend, I saw something that night I had never seen before, and it was this. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary, he died in my room and in my stead, and I accepted him that night as my Saviour and Lord. I remember walking home that night, going into the home. There was quite a number of Christians there. And of course I thought they would start singing, "Oh happy day that fixed my choice." I remember going into the room, the kitchen or the living room that night. And I said, I've just got saved.
My father said, Alec, go upstairs. I remember I went upstairs that night. And he asked me how I got saved. And he came down. And I didn't have hearing aids at that time. He said under his breath, he says, I think he's got it. 57 years has passed. And I could say tonight with a hymn writer, he'll do better for you than this world can do. He's a mighty Saviour, he is good and true. He'll save you by his grace. Until you see his face, he'll do better for you than this world can do. Salvation, what it is. Salvation, who it's for. Salvation, how to get it. Salvation, when to get it. I remember being in Cornerbrook one day, Newfoundland. I was insuring my car. And the lady I was dealing with had something on her desk, and it said something like this. Do the right thing. Do it the right way, and do it right now. And you know, I would say that tonight to every sinner in this building. God wants you to do the right thing. And he wants you to do it the right way. And he wants you to do it right now. Remember, the Bible says this. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Three things tonight very quickly about God. You know, God can save anywhere. He saved me in the front seat of a gospel hall. If others tonight had to testify, they could tell where they were saved. God can save anywhere. You know, God can save any time. I was saved at 9 o'clock. Some people saved in the morning. Some people saved in the early hours of the night. God can save anywhere, and God can save any time. But you know, I've got something better than that. God can save anyone. And I care not tonight who you are. Let me close tonight with those words. God tells me how I may be saved. He points to something done, accomplished on Mount Calvary by his beloved Son, in which no works of mine has place, for grace with works is no more grace. And remember this tonight, friend. To believe that Jesus Christ died for everybody, that will save nobody. But to believe that Jesus Christ died for me, a hell-deserving sinner, I tell you tonight, friend, that could save anyone. And you could leave this building tonight, knowing God as your Father, knowing Christ as your Saviour, and being certain of heaven is your hope.